This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, welcome. Greetings. We appreciate you tuning in to the Armor of God for another telecast. And I'm excited about today's program because I believe that I can speak to some of you who have this concern that we're going to raise in today's program. I would encourage you to consider this program as a personal appeal to you. To take a look at your life, examine your life in the context of being an overcomer, yes, but recognizing what the answer is to the question you perhaps often ponder, and that is, why can I not overcome or get ahead or be different than what I am? The Apostle Paul, in your New Testament, in the Bible, suggests something in Romans, the 7th chapter, that we are always engaged in. That is a battle between good and evil within ourselves. Here's what he says. For I know, this is Romans 7 and verse 18, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in the place where you know that to go to a certain place, or to speak and hang out with certain people, or to allow an attitude to ruminate within you, is a wrong thing? And yet somehow you just can't get beyond it. You find yourself losing your temper. You find yourself saying words that you had promised God on your knees that you wouldn't say anymore. You find yourself wanting to get even with someone, perhaps in politics, perhaps in our societal activities, or perhaps it's a boss, perhaps it's a coworker. In some capacity, we have all come to the place where we would say that I don't want to respond negatively, I don't want to be evil, but that's what comes up. This is what Paul is talking about here. Look at what he goes on to say. For the good that I would do not, for the good that I would, I do not, is the way that should be read, but the evil which I would not, that I do. It reminds me of a story of a woman who, loving her cat, ran back into a fired home, a home that was on fire, is what I'm trying to say, a burning fire. And she ran back into the house to get her cat because she loved her cat so, and she dies. This happened in Kentucky not too long ago. She died as a result of going back to something that was not good for her. It's sort of like the song that one of the modern performers suggested, why must I feel like that? Why must I chase the cat? Perhaps it's just the dog in me. We're going to talk about this proclivity to go back into harmful situations on today's program. But first, let me tell you of what we are offering in today's program. The sermon is entitled, Repent from What? This sermon is given by Bill Watson, was given by Bill Watson, and it is on a sermon CD. You can have it absolutely free of charge. In addition to that, there is a booklet that we would like to give you entitled, 10 Facts You Should Know About Repentance. 10 Facts You Should Know About Repentance. These two are very connected. Repent from what? Both of them can be yours toll-free when you dial 888-578-8791. or hit us up on our website at www.cgi.org. And I believe these will be powerful instruments in your hands to help you overcome the battle that you face in your life. As we continue in today's program, this woman that I described to you in the Kentucky area who went back into a fire-laden home to rescue a cat that she loved describes the tendency that many of us have of going back into what has been harmful to us and attempting to be delivered from. We go back into it, back into what she could not get enough of, that cat. Are there things in our lives that we think that we can't do without? Perhaps it's alcohol, perhaps it's drugs, perhaps it's sexual activity, perhaps it's just not being a very productive member of society. We go back into the circumstances and the situations that drag upon us, and sometimes it causes us to sabotage our desire to do right. Sabotage our desire to do right. Many of us have been taught from our youth on upward on the difference between right and wrong. We've been told how to evaluate circumstances and situations in order to come out smelling like a rose, if you will. But somehow we tend to fall back or fall away. That's another term that we see in the Bible of the ancient Israelites falling away from God and wanting to go back into the circumstances of their past lives, like wanting to go back into Egypt. They didn't have enough of Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. They were put upon in Egypt. They were castigated in every possible way, but when push came to shove, they wanted to go back to that place. Paul goes on to describe this battle in the section in which we are looking here in Romans 7. He says in verse 20, "Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me." He says, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Have you ever felt that way? I remember the first night that I was going to observe the Sabbath. You know, Sabbath is from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. I was about 20 years of age. And I'd been taught right from wrong, how to evaluate situations and so forth. But I had some friends, a friend of mine in particular, who invited me one Friday to go to a cabaret. And I knew it was the Sabbath coming on, but I said in my mind, this is how I rationalize it. Perhaps you can identify. I said, you know, I'm going to go to this event so I can see how the other people break the Sabbath. Isn't that a justification that just stuns you? Because really what I was saying is I want to be at the party, but I can use this as cover for being at the party. So we have a tendency sometimes to fight against the right thing to do when we know it's the right thing to do. Even as a nation, we know there are things we should do correctly and rightly as a nation, but we don't do it. We choose to go the opposite direction. And that's what Paul is describing here in this story. He said, "I find then a law, a system, that when I would do good, evil is present with me." That's an amazing circumstance. Reminds me of a little boy. A little boy had a bike locked up on the outside of his house. But the solution to the locked bike was inside the house. But he stayed on the outside of the house because he said, "It's dark inside, and I will not go inside to find the solution to my dilemma on the outside." Many of us do that. We know what the solution is. We know that we should turn to the Creator. We know that we should repent of our sins. We know that we have violated principles and rules and regulations from Almighty God. But we don't want to go inside of ourselves to examine ourselves because we think there's an outside solution coming somehow. Somebody's going to show up with the key to unlock the bike on the outside. But the solution is many times on the inside. We'll look at that a little bit more as we move through our presentation today. We are in a struggle against our human nature, all of us. I don't care who the preacher is, you know, whatever you may think of their spirituality and so forth, every human being wrestles within themselves about a tendency to be pulled down because of our human nature. The Old Testament suggests to us in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, that the heart, that is the mind, is desperately wicked. It is evil above all things and desperately wicked. And the question then comes, who can know it? But then the subsequent verse in Jeremiah 17 says, well, I, the Lord, tries the reins. I can get on the inside of your circumstance. I can cause you to be transformed from that thing that is pulling you down. That's what Paul discovered. And I can transform you into something entirely different. You can be different than the world around you. You can be different than the people around you. And despite what they may think or say, you can be fortified in God Almighty through Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to transform you into something other than what you are. You can be an overcomer. Paul goes on to say this, verse 23 in chapter 7 of Romans. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, that is, in my body. Your body walks places. It drives places. It goes places that it ought not go. And your conscience pricks you and says, why are you doing this again? You said you were going to stop doing that. You keep falling off the wagon. Well, Paul said this question, verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? If I continue in this way of sin, it's going to result in death for all eternity, is what Paul argues here. So in asking this question of Paul asking it of himself, can we not all ask the question, who shall deliver us from the body of this death? Who can transform me from the things that I tend to do when I know that they are evil? He says the answer, verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Then in chapter 8, he says, there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's the key of transforming yourself or being transferred from that place of oblivion, that place of sin, that place of evil, that darkness that we like to go back into. Sometimes as we attempt to sabotage ourselves with desires that are not right for us, we pull away from God. We neglect prayer. We neglect meditation. We neglect Bible study because we think that we can get by without it. But the fact of the matter is we must turn to God. We must become untrapped in the closet of our minds. Now, many times we are drawn to sin by what appears to be beautiful. There's an African plant. I don't know the exact name of the plant, but it's a plant, I guess it's like a man-eater. It eats certainly insects and so forth, but this is a big plant in which you can be drawn because the outward appearance of the plant is so beautiful. Men, there are women who are gorgeous, but they're not for you. Women, there are men who are hunks, but they're not for you, especially if you're married already. You see, you must be faithful to your wife. You must be faithful to your husband. You must not wander off with wanderlust, because it would be against the rules or the laws of Almighty God. But we tend to be drawn like a moth to a flame, drawn to these plants. I believe the plant is called the sundew plant of Africa. Sundew plant of Africa, that when you are drawn into the beauty of it, you are eaten on the inside of the plant because you have been drawn into its trap. Christians in Rome were addressed by Paul in the Romans, the 7th chapter, because Paul knew about their situations and their struggles and the overcoming that they had to do, and he related to them his own personal condition, his own personal struggle. But let me say this to you as a word of encouragement. If you are going through a difficult time, if you're trying to fight your way out, if you are saying, why must I be like that? Why must I chase the cat? It's nothing but the dog in me. Well, there is a premise that you must plant your life upon, and I use that analogy succinctly because when you plant a rose must go through some dirt before it blossoms and grows. You must go through some things to arrive at a place where you have overcome the impediment of dirt. Dirt, you know, that you plant a rose garden in, or any other plant for that matter, it must come up through this dirt. It must struggle to survive. It must struggle to live. But the Word of God suggests that there is an outside power that can come inside of you and transform you. The church, the body of Christ, is a place that is not and should not be viewed as a museum. It's not a museum. In fact, it's a hospital where people come to get well. They come to be rehabilitated because not only it is a holistic presence, but it is a rehab center. To come within the body of Christ, to move away from the situations that you think will save you, you must recognize, you must make this transition. Paul understood that by using his struggle as an example, he informed his ministry, he informed those people around him, that they could overcome. Because he overcame. In one place in his writings, he suggested that I was the least of all apostles because I persecuted the church of God. The apostle Paul, when he was Saul, used to arrest people. On one occasion described in the book of Acts, he held the coats of young men consenting unto the death of one of the first deacons of the New Testament church. His name was Stephen. Paul had a lot in his mind to reflect upon and to overcome as a believer, but he acknowledged it freely and openly to the people so that they could be encouraged about the things that they were struggling and wrestling with. What about you, my friends? You've watched The Armor of God many times. You know that we have churches throughout the United States, Canada, and other parts of the world. I would like to encourage you to consider coming and to worship with us and working with our ministry and working with our people to overcome that with which you struggle. Now, there are two things I want to leave with you today that will help you, I believe, visualize yourself as an overcomer. Now, we are victims of an inside job. What do I mean by that? I already referred to the fact that the young boy who had the bike on the outside with the lock on the bike and the key was inside the house, but he had an inside job within himself that prevented him from going in the house because he says it's dark in there. It's dark in our minds. It's dark in our spirits where we hide things that we don't want to confess to, that we don't want to own up to. But the fact is that you must go into those places, but you can go inside of those places with some help. Why are you and I searching on the outside for a solution that is inside? Inside, the spirit of us, the mind of us, the heart of us is where the solutions reside because the Holy Spirit has been promised to us by Almighty God, by Jesus Christ himself, that he will come in, he and the Father, and make his abode with us. That's John 15. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. And he goes on to talk about us coming in and living with you through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that will transform you. Because when you are in connection with me and relationship with me, there is nothing you cannot overcome. That's the truth, that we are victims of an inside job. And when you really want to make the analysis, you know that Satan the devil was an inside worker at one time. He was an individual, of course, who was in heaven with God Almighty, and as a result of being in His presence, He knew what God's plans were for human beings. He knows that we are destined to be overcomers, that God's intention is to put us in relationship with Him to ultimately carry us into the kingdom and into paradise. So the inside job that's being done on us with the henchmen of Satan, the devil, and his demons will assure that we will fail if we don't turn to Almighty God. Turning to God will remedy the inside job. Now, it was Max Lucado, the great writer and minister in Texas, who suggested this story about the boy with the bike. And he also went on to suggest that we can't continue to search on the outside to find the solutions for the inside circumstance. In other words, we need inner healing. Inner healing. It's not that dark inside where the Son of God will come in as the light of the world. And then He makes us lights as well. And the second and final point I want to make with you today is we are assured of victory if you call in outside help. Wow. Outside help. I can imagine that there are nations of the world who have appreciated the intervention of other nations on their behalf. Perhaps it's a community circumstance when tornadoes come and tear up property, or hurricanes come and the debilitation that happens and the results that are left behind are devastating. But outside help comes in to cause us to recognize that there are people whose hearts and spirits have been transformed by the presence of God's Holy Spirit, and they work on our behalf to help heal us. Not only bring us into success, but to help us overcome. I'm reminded of a little boy whose dad was, well, always walking with him in the park, and since Dad was always away or frequently away, he spent time with his son to indicate their connectedness. And on this one occasion, the little boy felt he wanted to show his dad how strong he was, and he saw a rock, and he says, "Dad, I can pick that rock up." "Oh, really?" "Yeah, I'm strong, Dad. I'm getting stronger every day." He flexed his muscles for Dad. You know, he was about 3 or 4 years old. So he says, "Okay, Dad, let me show you." He goes over to the rock. He attempts to pick the rock up, and he can't. So his dad says to him wisely, "Are you using all of your strength?" "Yeah, Dad, I'm using all of my strength. I'm using all the energy I have. I'm trying to pick this rock up." His dad asking him again, "Are you using all of your strength?" "Yes, Dad, I'm doing the best that I can do. I'm trying with all my energy." But Dad said to him, "Son, you have not used all of your strength because you have not asked me to help you." Outside activity, outside energy, outside strength in the form of God the Father coming into us by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and our submission to Jesus Christ as our Savior will give us strength we never knew we had. The kind of strength that will transform us. The kind of strength that will keep us from running into a fire-laden home and die. Going back to situations and circumstances that drag us down, pull us down, and keep us submissive to the will of Satan the devil, and not submissive to the will of God. My friends, Romans 8, the first verse says, "There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." The entire 8th chapter of the book of Romans will encourage you to know that there is nothing you can't overcome. Addictions, bad attitudes, bad relationships, economic downturns, every circumstance that you can imagine can be overcome. And so today's program entitled "Trapped in the Closet" may not be your epitaph. In fact, you can find out the truth that Almighty God will come to your aid and assistance. And in today's program, the material we've offered, "Repent from What?" and 10 Facts You Should Know About Repentance, will help you. So until next time, this is Bronson James for the Armor of God, reminding you to to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And my friends, you can be released from the trap in the closet.
You know, on today's program, Bronson James made it pretty clear, didn't he? Life can come at us pretty fast and hard. As a matter of fact, we as Christians find ourselves, don't we, day to day, still contending with things that, well, seem to hang on from our past. They just seem to linger. Mr. James used the terminology, they drag on. And yet, in spite of this dragging on of these past habits and patterns, we as Christians need to remember and keep always in mind that we are ambassadors for Christ, living sacrifices. And I know many of you are probably saying, well, that's easier said than done, Bill. And I realize that because, let's face it, we're all human. I mean, we're all surrounded by the temptations that we contend with in the lust of our flesh, the lust of our eyes, and the pride of life that are all designed to tear us down. I mean, I'm sure all of us would admit that. But look, let's be assured that with God being for us, who can be against us? And with Jesus Christ, we are reminded all things are possible. So with believing this and understanding that, hopefully that belief should underscore the motivation that we need to keep keeping on, my friends. That's the challenge, you see. Dial now, 888-578-8791. Let us help you by you obtaining the particular offers that we are presenting on today's program. A one-hour presentation titled, Repent from What? And a booklet easily readable in one sitting, 10 facts we should know about repentance. It'll put in perspective for you some methodology, some means by which you will learn how to be a real overcomer. And don't forget about that website there on posted there on the screen at www.cgi.org. Everything is free. Operators are standing by. Ask for both of these free offers. Friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you, as we always do, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
Exploring current global conditions along with the latest social trends, the Armor of God asks the question, what are the solutions to our broken world? Right here every week, new perspectives are presented for your consideration by our commentators. The Armor of God challenges you to be vigilant in your outlook and understanding of this world in these tumultuous times. Don't miss this week's program.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.